5 weeks of fire. Now, there's lots of phrases that you could throw up. You could probably toss one up here before I could. You know, I mean, give me a phrase that you think of fire. You say, okay, I remember this. Somebody used to say this one or this. Anybody got a phrase with the word fire in it?
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
That's it. And so some people's pants would be on fire all the time. Did I not know? I'm just kidding. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Anybody else? All right, I'll toss some. Or how about this guy?
Yeah, let's get fired up.
What's that mean?
Get excited.
Let's get excited. So, you know, you pull somebody from another country and come over here and you say, let's get fired up. They probably go, you know, because they don't really know what you're talking about. That's our slang for getting excited. We're all fired up. How about this? You're fired. Isn't this interesting? We get fired up because it's good. If we get fired up here, it's bad. You know, and same word, but you're fired. What's that mean? You're terminated. It's over. It's sort of like this being fired. It's like a cannon being fired. It's over. It's over. A ball player being on fire, what's that mean?
He's hot.
He's hot, you know. As a matter of fact, they'll tell that pitcher, man, throw your heat. I remember having a boy one time, bless his heart, they double, ground rule double off the wall on this one. Finally, triple out there. And finally, the third guy, he put a home run out there. I said, I've got to go get this guy. He's killing me. And I went out there and I said, Jamie, give me the baseball. We've got to switch pitchers right here. He said, Coach, I'm throwing my heat. I said, they're taking your heat across the fence. You know, so we've got to get something in here right now that's a little bit different. So when you're all fired up or when you're on fire, a basketball player, that just means he can't miss. I mean, he's
in the zone.
Yeah, it's like he's in another. You know, I watched a guy one night at Roanoke College. He was All-American, Reggie Thomas. Reggie pulled up and missed the first 11 shots. People in the crowd said, get him out of there. Coach Green knew a little bit better. He said, he'll start hitting. He did. He ended up with about 23 that night because that was in the second half. So he was on fire. Then every time he touched it, it's gone, it's gone. You know, he could, it's gone. Larry Bird used to do that. You know, he shoots, he's not even looking, and it's going in. So he's on fire. Or how about this one? Baptism by fire. They use that because you're going through a trial that no one else is going through. You know, a lot of times the military will use it. Baptism by fire. Welcome to the crucible. You know, they just, like Paris Island, that's probably got its own kind of reputation down there. Baptism by fire. Maybe, what's a ring of fire? Besides Johnny Cash, I fell in. What's a ring of fire? I fell into a ring of
the forest fire's all the way around you.
See, Bill's actually, he looked at my notes. A forest fire, you got that ring of fire. What's the safest place in a forest fire?
Home.
All right, Bill, no more answers. Can't answer anymore. Somebody, safest place in the car. I know, Bill. Remember the forest fire. I'll come back to that. Okay. Common phrases. Let me consider this and find some fire in the scriptures. A common Bible story is this man. We talked about him. He approached a fiery bush just a minute ago. His name was Moses. Here's another. I know you know these guys. And how about this? Elijah. If you don't remember Moses, still, a quick reminder. Moses, he approached the what? The burning bush. Right there it is. Angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked and behold, the bush was burning, and yet the bush was not consumed. Like, I got to go see what this is. And that was God speaking. Got his attention with the burning bush. Or about this one. Once they got moving around, the Hebrews had to have direction by God. So he gave them a pillar of cloud by day, and guess what? Pillar of fire by night to just lead them. So there's fire again. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Everybody knows this. These are the guys that are tossed into the what? Fiery furnace. How much hotter was that furnace heated up? 7 times hotter. So that the guards who come over to toss them in, the blaze hit them and kill them just from the heat coming out. So like, you know, when you preheat an oven, you open it up, put the pizza in, you got, you should have set it on 275 and it's sitting on, you know, 500 or something, so you open. Oh, you know, it's like, wow, you felt that heat. Well, the heat killed the guards to toss these in, and yet these guys went into the fire. They weren't in there alone, remember? King later said, look, I see 4 in the fire. Didn't we toss 3? Who was the 4th? Yeah, when you go through the fire, God will be with you. Elijah, maybe you don't remember this at all. He's on Mount Carmel. He takes on the prophets of Baal that day, and he calls down for fire from heaven. And sure, the fire came down and lifted up that, even the water in the trench around. Some Bible stories then about fire. What else? I'm introducing my series today with fire. And so I'll give you some verses from the New Testament. this is where it really starts. Okay, I'm not preaching at you. Of course, I have that right since I get to be a preacher, but I'm preaching at myself too. We have works in our life, and sometimes they're called wood, hay, and stubble. And if God puts the fire to them, what happens to those works that we think are so good? They get burned up. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. So it's like, if it's solid, the fire won't mess with it. But if it's not any good, it's going to get burned away. You know? We've had a fire before. I can remember, we used to have a fireplace in Mosher House. And we somehow rolled a croquet ball in there. And the fire burned up all the paper in the wood. And we thought, what is that? And it was like a little charred thing. It was like the orange. It was a weird shape. And anyway, it was still there. It had just been affected a little bit by the flames. But just everything else is gone except for that. What's usually standing after a house gets burned to the ground?
Chimney.
Yeah, the chimney is there. You go by my father-in-law, he's supposed to be funny. He's nice, Jimmy's dead. I can pick on him. And we went past one time and he said, you know what that is up there? You know what that's a sign up? And I went, I thought he was talking about the chimney. He said, there used to be a house there. And I went, I know that. It's like, what kind of house? We don't know. We just have to imagine. But it's like a big old chimney. House is gone, chimney's there. That's because that's sort of like our work. Some of them are going to be burned away. For God is a consuming fire. And God will burn it away. You say, does he have to do that? Yeah, he's got to do that. Our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews tells us. He will consume what's not there, and he'll consume what should not be there. Here's a real convicting thing. Did you talk about fire in the Bible? This thing can set up. The tongue also is a fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. I don't see how something so small can get us in so much trouble sometimes. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. The devil says, yeah, gossip about people. Tell lies. Use God's name in vain. You know, we'd be so much better off if we would just do what? Yeah, my mom used to say, she said, the least you say, the better off you are. And I thought, Mom, you're so wise. Like, I can tell you. And that way you don't have to later apologize for what you said. And see, if you don't talk a lot, you stand a better chance of not sticking your foot in your mouth. Yeah, it's just worse for the wise there. How about this? Revelation 20:15. This is the scary flames of the Bible. You got to talk about the fire of what? Yeah, hell. And some people say, well, hell's not real. I got news for you. The Bible says it is. I believe it is. But nobody talks about hell.
It is true. It is true.
And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life, he opens it up and checks it. If your name's not there, you're thrown into the lake of fire. And that's where it never quits. That's a fire that's never quenched. Wow, that's scary. I'm just telling you the truth. You want me to tell you the truth. Okay, you got verses from the Old Testament, verses from the New Testament. Let me consider this for you. There's a couple things that just jumped out over the next few weeks. We'll probably talk about purification. How God purifies us with fire. We might talk about this one, protection. Fire can actually protect me? Yeah, I'll show you that. How about power? You remember, we're on fire. We're on fire for God. And how about this one? Punishment. Now, we mentioned these things just a minute ago. If I purify you, when you put you through the fire, think of a silversmith or he starts off that ore and he just breaks it up. And then for protection, remember what we said? Bill actually said we can go and get in the car, we can go back to the house or something like that, but if there's a fire, but we can actually protect you by use of fire, by setting what firemen call a what?
Backfire.
A backfire. If that occurs in the car, that's bad. If it occurs with the firemen, we're going to set a fire. If it occurs with the car, not good news. I can protect myself by actually setting the fire. And then if we say we're on fire for God, that means you have a lot of power. And of course, the flames of hell would be a punishment. God doesn't want you to be punished. It's up to you. People choose that place. He doesn't force you to go there. God sent them to hell. No, you chose to go. He's choosing and helping you to choose life right now. And people just reject it. He won't force himself on anybody. All right. This is see the propane there? He's setting the fire. And that's called what kind of burning?
Backburning.
Well, you can either call it backburning, and that's what I call a backburning. Or they call it a control burn too sometimes, so I'll take either answer. Back burning. We're going to set the fire. And I got my message for today is just to remind you this. If we're burned in a certain area, and you say, man, you burned me that time. No, that's not what I was again. No, but if I am so on fire for God, the devil can't really burn that area. You say, okay, run that by me again. All right, let's do a controlled burn. And Jesus steps in. He burns us. He just sort of fills us with his fire, so to speak. And if I'm on fire for God, then I won't be... You ever heard this phrase, burning with passion? Lustful, burning with lust. How about this? Burning with anger. So I don't want to be burning with anger. I don't want to be burning with lustful thoughts. I don't want to be burning with the things of the world. I want to be on fire for God. And if I'm on fire for Him, it's sort of like... Corrie Ten Boom puts it like this. She does it so much better. So I'll just let you... In the forest fire, there's always one place where the fire cannot reach. And that place is where the fire's already burned itself out. Calvary's the place where the fire of God's judgment against sin burned itself out. It's there we are safe. So if I go and say, Jesus, I just want to get inside this safe area. It's almost as though our sins, Jesus says, if you confess your sins, I'll forgive you of your sins. It's almost like he burns them away. You're safe in that area. Now the trouble is we don't really stay in that area. So if we burn this area, get in this area, the fire can't touch us. It can't because it's already been there. Let this area be burned for God. And if we stay in that area, well, you tell me, what's the trouble? We don't stay in here. We do what? We go back over here where the weeds and the briars are, and of course Satan pulls us out or tempts us to come out, and we get burned. Stay where it's already been burned. My heart's already been burned for Jesus, so to speak. Is that good? Yeah, I want to be burning up right for Him. It's there we are safe. So He burns that area and we stay safe. If we have a heart that is on fire for God, it can't be touched by the fire of the enemy. Alright. Controlled burn by Jesus. Isaiah talks about this fire that just comes in us. When you're under attack from the enemy, you're halfway to victory. I want to change the way you think today. Next time you say, the devil is tempting me. Well, just what? When you're under attack from the enemy, you're halfway to victory. Because you say, how in the world do you get that? Because there are safe places where the fire can't reach you. So if I am doing things for God, if I'm under attack by an enemy, by the way, if he's attacking you, you must be doing something good. Why? If the devil never tempts you, never attacks you, never comes at you too much, it must mean that... Who do you guard in a basketball game?
The best player.
Yeah. And if I sit there and there it is, and I never score the rest of the half, I wonder why nobody's guarding me. We don't have to. I mean, you're dangerous to yourself. We'll start double-teaming someone else because he is scoring. Now, if I come down and there's a three, and then I come down, I've had an assistant coach beside said, we got to go pick that guy up. Yeah. The devil says, let's go pick so-and-so up. He's doing some damage. You know, Chris is starting to witness. I got to go, you know, let me try to get his attention. Well, the devil never tempts me. Okay. I think he just told me something. Nobody ever guards me. Maybe we aren't doing a whole lot for the devil. A whole lot for the Lord, the devil. The devil only comes at you if you're on fire for God. Why? Because he hates Jesus, and he hates you if you live for Jesus. That's another tough thing. I'm just telling you. So, when you're under attack from the enemy, when the devil comes at me, I'm halfway to victory because I think, Jesus, here's some fire coming out. I'm going to step into this. I now got complete victory. I didn't mean to get... But I just know that when he's sending his fire, that must mean that you're close to being on fire. Does that make sense? Because the devil, hey, he's starting to throw fire at me. That's because you're becoming more on fire for God. He'll come pick you up, so to speak. He'll start guarding you. The first step then in being on fire for God is being totally submissive to Him. You say, oh, now I got to stay in that little burned out area. Yeah, burned out of Calvary. You got to stay at the foot of the cross. You say, I want to be a missionary one day. Well, I'll tell you what, the first missionary you become. Ever think about being a missionary? Then think about starting with a sub-missionary to God. You submit yourself to Him. That's being a sub-missionary. Because if you don't submit to God and say, let me stay in this little area, that's what I'm doing. Okay. So today's message is, think of it this way. Who are you consumed by? Or what is consuming you? I'm thinking of the temporary things of the world, they consume you. Or what are we called when we go buy things from the store? We are a
consumer.
We consume the goods. When you go to Hardee's and you're hungry, you
consume the food.
You consume more than you probably need to sometimes, you know. Another bag lunch, you know, and there's only you there. We consume. So what do you consume? Temporary things of the world or maybe this, the eternal things of God. So what consumes you? There are two brothers in the Bible. One of them's name was Jacob, one of them's name was Esau. Jacob stole Esau's birthright, if you've ever heard that story before. Esau would get up the next morning or so and said he consoled himself, that is, he was really consumed, with one thought. What did he want to do to Jacob? He went to kill it. Alarm clock goes off.
Today's the day. Maybe today I'll see him kill him.
Wow, what a lot. How do you go to bed every night?
No.
You were just consumed with that. And then when he finally gotten a hold of him, when they finally did meet, that didn't happen. But can you imagine, some people are consumed, as soon as they get up in the morning, they're consumed with, if you, I mean, I like exercise, but I'm not this bad. You're consumed. Jim Ryan, who was the first guy to ever break a 4-minute mile, and Bill Rogers ran the Boston Marathon, 26 miles. They said they had one rule, well, they had two rules. One rule, I run every day. Rule two, rule one never changes. So if it's snowing, if it's rainy, if it's windy, now, something part of me wants to say, appreciate y'all, what dedication. Part of me wants to say, you're what? You're crazy. Just pouring down rain, 3 feet of snow. I really don't think we need to get outside and run. No, I'm going. I've known people in Salem. I've driven people a couple times forward and signed the papers. And I remember the blue slip, and this person got their license. And I was talking to the mom, and I said, now, you're married to so-and-so, because I used to know him. I coached against him. She said, oh, we're not married anymore. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, he just runs all the time. Excuse me. He just loves to run. That really is what caused us to do what? Break up and be divorced. He's consumed with it. You pair running shoes about once a month. If you also run in the morning, run in the evening, come in from work, first thing you do, hit that pavement and run. Yeah, you're being consumed by something. And that's something of the world. I would rather be consumed by eternal things. Can you imagine this? I just got to talk to so-and-so about the Lord. I just got to make sure I do this. And so now you've got your sights on eternal things. Wouldn't it be cool if people say, I know him, he's going to talk to you about the Lord. All right. Consider this, and rekindle the fire in me, Lord. Let your anointing fall bountiful and free. Burn in me, fire of God. Burn till my heart is pure. Burn till your light shines out in me. Sit that strong and sure. Okay, I'm going to give you things, and Andy picks on me. He's not here today, so I can do this. I'll put my notes up here. I'm sorry if it's wordy. Andy says, stewardy, Dad, put something else up. But anyway, I'm missing today, and I'm gonna put my notes up here. But you can just keep the key lines. Let me give you a few things to think about being burning for God. Okay? First of all, consider this again. If you want to be controlled, you want to have a controlled burn, we got to get God that burns our heart, fills us with fire, and we won't be burning with the things of the world. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the water, you won't be burned. You ever passed through a fire? I just got a glimpse of myself passing through a fire a long time ago. You ever passed through a tough time in your life? And God says, let me put that silver blanket on that the firefighters use, and we'll take you through this. And matter of fact, I'm going to start burning the grass in front of you so you can walk with me. God, this hurts. But if you stick with me, you will not be burned. You'll come out of it. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego come out of that, and they weren't burned. They said their hair on their head never even smelled like smoke. How do you get out of this mess that you're in? And God just, it's called God's grace, and He helps you not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You won't be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. I'll protect you. So I think He's brought us to the fire somehow. So how do I get on fire for Jesus? How do I go through steps and things like this? Well, here's step number one. This is called the breaking. This is the part you don't like. I'm just telling you like it is, the breaking. The refiner breaks up the natural order that is in something. And here's my verse for Jeremiah. So let's just pick on the front row. Chris says, God, I want you to refine me. You sure? Yeah. Have a little conversation with God. Chris, you sure? You want me to break it? Okay. And he puts him to work with somebody who's awful, who's an atheist. He about to cuss him out every day. Chris, like, thanks. You think you'll pray more then?
Oh, yeah.
Hardest I've ever prayed in my life is usually because someone's sick. When my mom goes to the hospital, I pray. When my dad, is that just me or you? Don't you pray harder?
Mm-hmm.
He even talked to me with my little cat, Hokie. Hokie's asthmatic. I went to Tech for the shootings and I came back. I probably told you this before. And when I came back, I thought, Lord, I'm just during. Jenny's in the kitchen. She won't really understand this because I've just been up there watching people who've had their friends shot and killed. Matter of fact, I come back and I'm just sitting there looking in the front yard because we walked. What was the name of the building at Tech when the shootings occurred? What was the name of the building? Wasn't a horse, so. Anyway, Andy and I went up there. Andy had to go to an art place, get some, like the art library. We walked up there and we looked for a certain building. No, that's not it. They said, you need to go right here. We went up there, went found our art stuff and came back out, walked right by the building and went back to the car. A week later, that was like on a Tuesday. The following Thursday, that was the building the shootings occurred in. So we were at that building a week earlier. Thank you, God. So I was sitting on the front porch and I said, Lord, I just need to give, I'll give out a hug today and I'll give cold water and I just need a hug. Here comes a cat to the front yard and there's Hubkins. And Hubkins, has, make a long story short, there he had green stuff on his nose. Oh, I don't want him. I wonder if somebody did that to you. You ever had green stuff come out of your nose? I wonder if your mom goes, ew, I don't want that to do to you. No, your mom just wipes it. Matter of fact, you ever had you? Oh, hangry. Okay, well, I'm glad you know, hold the baby up and if I cut a cheese in your head, you know, you just wipe them off and keep going. That's what God does. That. He just wipes us off. Let me clean you up. Well, I wiped off Hokey. Turns out he has asthma. I think somebody dropped him because he didn't want to mess with him anymore. Hokey comes over. He's my pal. And I take him in and pretty soon he had an asthma attack a couple of times and one night he was just gasping for that. I had my face on the floor, laugh at me, I don't care. I had my face on the floor on all fours and God, you got to get into the night. I didn't even want to go to sleep. I was afraid he was going to die tonight. Next day, I said, we got to go help him. And I raced to the veterinarian, the vet, and before I got there, he did his tail and just went like this. And Jenny says, lay him down. He's gone. Okay, what are you going to do out of desperation? What do you do? Don't you pray? Well, I did two things. I was praying and again, laugh at me. I don't care. I'm a PD person, you know. If a baby, if you need to give a baby mouth, you don't go, you don't do that. Your big chest will just hurt the baby. So you take a bite of breath, bite of air. That's what you're supposed to do. I was trying to give mouth to mouth to a cat. Why? I'm crazy. I love my cat. I rushed in there and gave him there and they said, we don't. They come out and said, he's not coming. Yeah, I think he did. Well, he made it. We had to take him to Tech. When I went over, that guy said, he's not coming. I said, well, I tell you what, I'm a praying man. I think you will. He said, well, some people choose that religion route. No, you misunderstood. I don't have religion. I have a relationship. There's a difference? Yeah. He'll be okay. I'll be here tomorrow to pick him up. Okay. I was there the next day. Well, he got better. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Hokey hadn't had an asthma attack in 5 years. But Hokey taught me to pray. So when I see Hokey walking around in the room, I think, God, remember that time? He said, yeah, I had to take you pretty. I had to burn you up a lot that time. I had to burn off some air. I had to beat you up a little bit because you thought you were in control of some stuff. So here's what he does. It's not my word like fire declares the Lord and like a hammer that breaks rock into pieces. So he breaks us up and that's the pain we go through. You've been beaten on your leaven? The crucible. The refiner places the unrefined silver that he's chopped out and beat up out of that rock, puts it in this, and the refiner puts it in a crucible, and that's a fireproof melting pot, and then he sort of puts it into the fire, and the refiner uses heat to purify our hearts and cleanse our character. Proverbs 17:3 says, the crucible for silver and furnace, and the furnace for gold. Yeah, and that's what they're used for. Crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. So he sort of takes my heart and puts it into the oven sometimes. What am I doing? Burn off impurities. This may take a while, Edgar. You may have known somebody really, truly godly. See, I can brag my mom. I think my mom's heart went in the fire. Okay, we're good. Edgar? We're going for lunch. Chris, they went to sleep. Done it and got you. No, we're going on vacation. Jim's hard to know. I just didn't care. You ever feel like burning the impurities off? Does that take? It gets worse. Step number 3. Now the impurities come to the top. How ugly is that? You ever had your impurities come to the top? Chris, I'm picking on you on the front row. Chris told me these impurities a couple weeks ago when he gave us his testimony. But I was blessed by that, weren't you? Because you say, you know what, I'm encouraged because my impurities are a lot like you. And he says, mine have been forgiven and burned away. Yours can too. I appreciate the encouragement. Be honest. The refiner places a crucible in the heated furnace to remove the dross. And watch this. As the ore melts in the crucible under the watchful eye of the refiner, A layer of impurities called rot, eventually forms on the surface. Now, if you were making milk, what would do? What rises at the top?
Cream.
Yeah. You get the idea. The Bible says, remove the dross from the silver, and the silversmith can produce a vessel. Did you get that? Take away my impurities, and now I can form you into being a church planter. Now I can make you into something I can really use instead of what you thought. Is it that convicting you? So we busted you up, put you in the fire, bring you out, put you in again, and started coming up old. We've got a little bit more to go. This is tough. You weren't one to be burnt up for Jesus. I hope you do. Stage 4 is this one. The heat. You ever had one of those days? Lord, please don't. Yeah. I had one of those days a week ago Saturday. I'm glad I had a good day yesterday. A week ago Saturday, everything I touched. We got 2 vans. I was afraid to drive them. Alternator went bad, the other one was overheating. Finally, one of them wouldn't start at all. I went home, I thought, okay, the van died in the driveway at the house. What better place for a car to break down? At your home. So anyway, I thought, let me just go downstairs. Sink clogged up in the basement. You ever had anything? I come back upstairs and it's like, that's when you drop something and the milk goes all over the floor. That's when you thought, oh, Lord! You won't want to pat the cat goes,
don't touch me.
Everything you're touching, the vans won't start, this won't start, sink's clogged. And I went and sat in the backyard and I said, God, you got to stop this. And I just felt like even the ambulance a little bit frictiony that day. And it's like, they're fine, they're in love. You know, I worry a little bit and I think, I hope they're okay. But it's like, oh, we're this or that. And it's like, oh. And then you stop and say, Lord, he says, I'm turning up the heat on you. Please don't turn up a lot. It's like, might not be anything left in this furnace. The refiner does this. He skims off the impurities. He then turns the heat up again, sticks you back in that blistering up to 7 times. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? 7 times hotter. We're told in historical literature that, but the Bible proves it true too. He knows that only certain impurities are released at certain temperatures. Did you get that? It's like a chemical explosion. Boom. There it went. We had to get it that hot to have it released. Does that make sense? Anything left? Nope. Anything? Nope. Nope. Right there. Psalms 12:6 says, and the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified crucible, like gold refined 7 times. Usually you talk to someone who's been through the fire, and they're just so, well, I'm just going in from you, I'm just listening. So they've been through some fire. I mean, I learned from some of you here. They're from the UV testimony. I learned from them. You say, I've been through a fire. You ever feel that way? Beth's been through a fire. Maybe you've been through a fire. You say, hey, I've been through a fire. Virginia, you ever been through a fire? Has God ever just burned and
yeah.
See, one of these days we'll have those people here and say, here's what it felt like when the heat was turned up. But you know what? God made me better. God's going to do this. Why does he heat us up? So he can purify us and make more like himself. Refiner continues to remove the impurities each time with utmost skill and patience. The refiner removes those impurities, dross at the top, leaving behind gleaming gold and silver. What's he waiting to do? Well, the Bible says our refiner sits over the refining process, purifies. He knows that way, the way that'll take. And when he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Why do you think he keeps putting us in there, burning off the impurities? Here's what the final test is after the purification. He's finally getting this silver and gold to do this. He wants to look at it and see something. What do you think he wants to see? Yeah, here's what he wants to see. You got it. He wants to see himself. The refiner sees a clear image of himself. Only when the refiner looks into the crucible and sees a clear reflection of himself is the process complete. Now, the Bible says, on the day that we see him, we shall see him as he is. We shall be as he is. So on the day I walk into heaven, I'm going to be looking in the mirror and saying, Jesus, he's the same. You look just like me. Took a while. Now, what I would like him to do is get me to look like him before I ever get there. Some days I feel like I'm a lot like him. On the next day, I'm like, why do you even say that? Anybody like that? Mm-hmm. Certain days I think, move over, John. And I got this. First Thomas,
you.
With little Franklin Graham, I got this. Next day, I think, Lord, I don't even want to be a church planter sometimes.
I still feel worried. If he goes, yeah, I got rid of that.
There's a little pride in you.
I didn't think it was prideful.
I know. Only I can see it because, not quite like me yet. Let me just keep putting in the fire. So this is for my own good.
Okay.
You look in the mirror and see me. It all began with me.
What a chip.
Let me show you this video.
Short video just to show you where this process began.
This is where the process began. So I want to go into the fire.
You do?
Okay. Let me show you what it.
And says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer, and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes. Mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your master. In Jesus' name I pray.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that. Don't I? I did. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right. Hey, what are we doing? I'm going to make you my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it. Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay.
Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Oh, hey, God. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here, and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. Compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust?
Time out.
I don't really have a problem with lust. You don't have a problem with lust?
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away, because ultimately, you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just, when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, "Oh, you're holier than thou," you know. And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here, and then, you
That's
know.
Just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never even just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
no,
chisel.
No, chisel. Chisel.
All right. But
can we chisel where I would?
That's called control.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
That hurts.
Oh, trust me, this hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. Sorry, I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years. These empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them, and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character when you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my
ways. Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. You and I both.
What? No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror. And I hate who I see. Because deep inside there is this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away. Just be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not for me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach your back pocket.
What?
Reach your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach your back pocket.
God.
Yes?
I just went, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach your back pocket.
It's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I messed up so many times. But I hear you say, you want to use me. And I feel so useless. If you'll take me, then use me. But God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's.
Not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
So are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Got a question for you. I know it's going to sound a little confusing, but I want you to say your name. I'm going to say Edgar. I want you to say your name. And we're going to say, I'm going to say, Edgar, you are God's original masterpiece. You're going to say your own name. Say this with me. You ready?
Edgar, Chris,
you are God's original masterpiece. Why would you ever think anything less? Go ahead and step out of the pot. Let's go back over where the Aryans burned off and that's the tip of the cross. Satan can't touch it. These words like Jesus, cross and Calvary, forgiveness and grace, and he runs. James 4:8 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you check that verse right before that sentence, says, submit therefore to God.
Yeah,
submission, right? Submit, therefore, to God. And when you submit to God, that's the area where it's already learned by the cross. Submit, therefore, to God. Then you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can't stand to be around us when we're God. Jesus drove me crazy. Oh, God, he's crazy, too. C.T. Studd, great missionary to Scotland, he says, when I die, the devil will rejoice. But that meant such a pain to me. I think he was also the one that said, you know, some people, missionaries, build a little hut over when they're far off. He said, I want to build a chapel right next to hell. I don't know that we're next to hell, but we're on the mission road. And I think God's used it. I think a long time ago, I'd say, Lord, you just let us be over in a residential area. Nice, quiet place. Yeah, see, yeah, I got that. I'm going to be at Huff Lane forever. I'll tear the school down. I'll let you be there forever. He did. They're just around hill, and they kick us out. Finally, he says, I want you on Williamson Road where you can help do a funeral for a person next door, where you can provide walking distance to some. Okay. He's putting me in the fire, man. I don't even know what he's doing anymore. I just say, it's yours. We're going to become what he wants. So as he keeps breaking off the top, well, today, man, you got something to let go off the top. So as we pray together at the last, man, you just got a simple prayer. And you say, what do I do? I'm your masterpiece, God. Let's begin with that prayer. Dear Jesus, as we lift up our hearts, thanks for breaking us. Jesus, it's funny that once you break us and eat us and remove that impurity layer off the top, we become a bit more like it. Lord, I've known some people, and I just think my mama was like it. Lots of people in this room probably said the same thing for their mom or dad. But Jesus, I just looked at my mama's face and saw you. She was so ready to go home. We were singing songs and quoting the Bible. Nothing else mattered. She just loved you and loved her family. So I had a glimpse into the face of you. And Jesus, that's what I want, man. I want people to see me and see you. So Lord, I'll begin with me. Forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse my heart, every crack and crevice in my heart from head down to my toes. Wash me clean. Chisel away. And as you remove things that help me, and as you become more like it, it'll pay off. It might be painful for a while, but it'll pay off. And Jesus, and I asked that same prayer for my friends and him. You spoke to some hearts in here today, and they're sitting there talking to me. Help them to just be simple in their prayer and say, Jesus, would you remove this in my life? Would you chisel the things away that I don't need? Chisel away the things that don't look like you. Start to find them. It's not easy, but I'm going to come through and be like gold. Lord, I thank you that I serve you. And you're my Savior and my best friend. And I thank that you spoke to my heart as well as others in the service. So Lord, continue to work on us and be with us. I don't know if God's working on your heart. Parents is already probably does. And I'm sure he does. He says, my Lord won't come back to me void. I don't know what where you're at in your refining process. He said, I'm getting ready to go into the furnace again. Well, be of good cheer. He only does that with his children. And I mean, who do you discipline? You get in trouble if you try to discipline everyone. Next time you go into Walmart and see a little kid running down the aisle, you say, stop! If that's not yours, you might get in trouble. But if it's yours, you're probably going to correct. Well, that's what God does, says he corrects his children. Okay. Got a minute or two to just finish up. We're going to sing. You can just sit there, but I'm going to sing a line of Amazing Grace. And while we're singing that, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, we're going to sing the line of Amazing Grace. But I'm going to be glancing up, and if your hand goes up, I just want to include you in my final prayer. It's a decision time. You can look at this right here. Decision time. Where are you spiritually? Don't be satisfied with being on the bench. I need you to start. I need you to be in the game. You need to talk to the Lord about some changes that may be made in your life. He's waiting for you to pray. So it may be something this simple. Lord, I bring you my burdens. You know my situation. I'm going to quit hiding. You know me anyway. You know I can't make it without you. Comfort my heart. Give me strength. Help me to carry on. Maybe that's your prayer. So today, would you bow your head and close your eyes? And I'm going to sing Amazing Grace. And if you want to slip your hand up, I'm going to close. And when I do, I'll pray for you specifically. So let's pray together. Let's sing together. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind.
that went up. I pray specifically for them. They're trying to live for you. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd enable them and help them do that. Help them know they're going to go through the fire and they're going to be chiseled on, worked on, but it's by the best artist that we can find. Sometimes your chiseling gets painful. But I pray for strength that you'd enable those that ask for prayer, even like me, to be satisfied with you working on. Maybe to be focused on eternal things, not worldly things. And no matter what the world offers, give them the courage, the strength to say no, to step back where it's already been run at the foot of the cross. Help them to cling to you this week. Every time they're tempted, help them to say, Jesus, I need you. You've got to get me through this. When the devil sends his fire, may they step into your fire. Lord, I pray that for the ones that raised their hand. Lord Jesus, enable them, help them to count on you, say, and simplify Jesus under them. Get me more simple. And I thank you for answering prayer in advance in Jesus. Some people made decisions today. I thank them for that. And if God's working on you, can't be dead.